The Gurus of How To join us now. Alvin and Lawrence U. Bell, also known as Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York. Among our longest, I guess you are our oldest guest here. When I arrived 32 plus years ago, Alvin, you were already a regular on the show.
Yes, I was here before you with Marty Wayne. Mm-hmm.
I know, he's the oldest guest on many levels.
even in my household.
Well, you must be doing something right because we keep on inviting you back and the audiences love you.
Yes.
Before we get to our calls, our number here is 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. A couple of things that we should probably deal with. One, a little later we'll throw out our quiz, as we do every time you visit. But are there certain things that we should be thinking about this time of year?
Well, I have to say that with the recent disasters that have been going on, I think that a lot of that thought has shifted from just normal, what do we do preparing for the winter? Because I have to say that the spring and the fall are basically those seasons where you don't have to do a lot if you live in a calm climate like we have in New York right now, when we're actually, knock on wood, between hurricanes or storms or anything like that.
But even we can be hit by a Sandy.
We can get another Sandy and fires all over the country, and disasters seem to be mounting rather than diminishing.
I mean, right now we're dealing with four different issues. We're dealing with the aftermath of what happened in Houston and Florida and in Puerto Rico. And now we're dealing with a new front in California with the wildfires. And so obviously our thoughts go out to all those people, but it's how do you prepare for these different events? And, you know, they're so different from one another. I mean, one of the things they're talking about with fire prevention is clearing all the brush away from your home. But that's not something you could just snap up in the morning and do.
I remember with my own home, I lost my home because of Sandy, and the water was up to the basement. But the aftermath of getting rid of all the garbage, all that I had in the basement was now worthless. And just to get rid of it was overwhelming.
And having a great city infrastructure that we have in New York City, the sanitation department, which I will always be indebted to them, they went through my parents' neighborhood and they got rid of everything. It disappeared, and they did an amazing job. But if you don't have that infrastructure on the local level, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Well, some people in our listening audience have their own homes, and if they have any trees near their homes, that means leaves are falling. Is this a time when we should be considering serious about gutters and leaders?
Yes, I'm a four-time-a-year gutter guy. Okay, four-time-a-year. It's really important. I mean, three-time-a-year. You do it once they've all fallen off the trees and they're down, you clean them. Then you wait another 2 or 3 weeks because more are going to fall from your neighbors, and clean all those. And then you clean it one more time in the beginning of the spring.
But leaves are not garbage. Leaves are really part of nature. And if we can gather them together and use them as mulch or something like that, which the
compost.
Parks Department is involved in, the Department of Sanitation is involved. Living in New York City, we have to say to ourselves, we're lucky that we have an infrastructure to do what we need to do when a real emergency comes. But the rest of the country, for some reason or other, they don't know what to do. And even when they have hurricanes in the same place over and over again, they don't prepare for it. I can't understand that.
Okay, the other thing that, getting back to the gutter and leaders, the biggest problem I find when I'm doing home inspections is that the leaders and the downspouts just drain right onto the property right next to the building, and people wonder why their basements are damp, why their cellars are damp, why they get flooding every time it rains. And the easiest thing to do is just direct those downspouts away from your building by at least 15 feet. And if you do that, your basement will have a lot less water condition, aside from the thing we always speak about dehumidification and putting a dehumidifier in your basement.
15 feet, that's, how do you get something that far away from the building?
You go to your home center and you buy either a piece of round PVC pipe or a leader extension, and you have it go away from your building.
But on that level, you got to keep that water on your property. In the city of New York, if you permit roof drainage to go over the sidewalk, no matter what time of the year it is, it's a violation. Particularly in the winter, if you let the water come over the sidewalk, you have a slippery condition on your sidewalk or the curb cut or wherever it is, and you could injure other people. So you have to be conscious of what you're doing and where it's being done.
And on that note, a lot of the older homes, brownstones, have actually storm sewers built into them. But over the last 100 years, those storm sewers have been blocked up with silt. And instead of actually cleaning them out, people just block them off, put the gutter right next to it. So now it's draining through the foundation, which is also causing a foundation erosion, by the way. These are the things people need to do.
I'm talking with the gurus of How To, Al and Larry Ubel. Our number, 212-433-9692. This is WMIC, WMIC.org. Just one more thing before we get to the quiz and start taking calls. What about air conditioners? Because people have been running them throughout the summer. Mm-hmm. Is this the time to start cleaning them, especially in light of the fact that summer seems to be running pretty long this year?
Well, the thing is that now the service companies or the air conditioning contractors that are around there are now looking for jobs. So it really is the best time because they're not busy trying to get the units that are defective to get to work again. So now is the time to maybe have them clean out the coils inside the compressor, the condenser.
We can't do that ourselves?
It depends upon what kind of an air conditioner you have. If you have a window air conditioner, really all you need is a good hose, or if you could take it out, if it's light enough to put it into a bathtub and wash it. You don't have to be afraid of the water on it because they're outside and they're getting rained on anyways. So they're designed to be in a wet environment. So it just cleanliness is next to making those things work efficiently and longer.
But I do want to say that I'm going to say that I wouldn't do anything with your air conditioner until we at least put our heat on once. We haven't even gotten to that yet. And I'm looking at the weather that we're looking at 81, I think, by Sunday. So I wouldn't jump the gun so quick.
You're right. Absolutely.
I would not even think about taking out your air conditioner until we're well into November. The second thing I want to say, for people who have their own homes and they have compressors on the outside, a lot of them love wrapping them like they were supposed to, like they're hermetically sealed. Bad, 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 bad. They're supposed to be outside. Now, a lot of people don't want the leaves and the debris falling in them. There's a couple ways you can do it. One, usually they're round and the top of it has a round vent on the top. Just get a big garbage can top and with a couple of bungee cords, bungee it on top so the leaves don't fall in, but leaves the sides open to breathe. Or put a piece of plywood or a piece of plastic just on the top. But don't go crazy.
Good idea.
Okay, before we get to the calls, and I don't want all the lines to fill in before we throw out the quiz, what is this week's quiz?
Oh, well, the quiz is, name the wheeling device that can be found on supermarket shopping carts, container vacuum cleaners, and hospital gurneys that allow forward, backward, and lateral movement.
So those canister vacuum cleaners have wheels on them.
Special wheels on them. Mm-hmm. And we want to know what you call that special wheel.
And our number here is 212-433-9692. And we have a lot of people calling in just with other kinds of questions.
I want to hear what they have to say.
Starting with Charles from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Charles.
So hi, how are you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I would say Costa wheels for the quiz.
No, that's not what we're looking for.
But I had another question about a roof, but should I do that another time?
Ask me the question. I want to hear the roof question.
Okay. I've had a leak for about maybe 3.5 years on my roof.
Yeah.
And when the landlord tried to fix it, it came back again.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're actually doing the whole roof because it's been like 3.5 years, that they realized they had to do the entire roof.
Right.
And when you're on the top floor, a building is maybe 27 stories, you're the one that knows what's going on with the roof than anybody else. My problem is that I'm in the center of the building where you have the elevators coming up.
Right.
And then you've got, a lot of weight that's on that center,
saying? Right.
So the other day when they worked on the roof, I guess there was a duck or something, because they were all for because of the Columbus Day.
Yes.
It rained, Sunday and then Monday.
Right.
Sunday I had a leak in one of my bedrooms. And, you know, it wasn't bad. I put down water. You know, I mean, I put down buckets to catch the water.
Is there a question? My question is, what's the question?
Is there something he can do other than become a roofer, right?
Yeah. Well, they found out that the leak was coming from a pipe, too.
Right.
But is there anything I should have them do before they leave that they're doing a whole roof that would be better for an apartment that's in the center? Well, I mean, do I get more things happening?
No. What's happening is probably like your leakage, like most other leakage, is occurring at either, well, this is a roof going in, so I think sometimes the workers leave things exposed and they go home. It's like, I'm done, we go, and they leave things out, and that's why during storms stuff gets blown off of roofs, and people leave things not in a in an orderly fashion when they leave for the day. But that's number one. Number two, most of the leaks that happen on roofs happen from flashing points, and those flashing points are where the roofing material meets other material, and right now, because you're in an intermediate situation where they're half done, not half done, not all those flashing points have been made water resistant and waterproof, and that's probably the problem. What you can do on your own, not really a whole lot. You just have to really let the building super or building management know that you have a problem, or make sure that they've done their due diligence before the end of the day when they leave for the day or for the weekend.
Good luck, Charles.
Yeah.
Chuka from Brooklyn.
What's up?
Is it Chuka?
Hello. I think we lost that person.
Yeah.
We'll come back.
Okay. This one is Jadanla from the Rockaways.
Yes.
Hi, what's up?
Hi. I have in a couple of rooms in my house on the ceiling, there were like these little brown spots that appear.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, because it's in a few rooms, I just recently did the roof. There was a leak, and so I replaced the insulation and all of that. But I'm wondering, what is it? And they're near my ceiling fans. They're all near. I have ceiling fans in almost every room. And on those ceilings is where I see these little like brown spots.
Well, the brown spots could be a lot of things. It actually could be, if it's a sheetrock ceiling, it could be some sort of condensation is forming and it's corroding the screws or the nails they use to hold the sheetrock to the ceiling. If they are in a particular direct line, one after another, that's a sure telltale sign that the nails or the screws that used were not coated, or they were not galvanized in order to prevent them from corroding, and that bleeds through. The way they'll prevent that, the next time they're painting it, they have to use aluminum paint right at those spots, so that'll prevent that dark spot from bleeding through.
But it also could be a result of your roof leaking before, where as the water leaks through, it sometimes brings through some of the tar, petroleum product that's in the roofing material, and it drips through and it stains the ceiling.
Would the aluminum paint work there as well?
It would work well, but also if you don't want to go with the aluminum paint, something like Kills or Zinsser actually works very well also, and it's easy to wash off your brush.
We have to go to a break in just a moment, but I thought I would take a call from somebody who thinks he knows the answer to the quiz, which is named the wheeling device that can be found on supermarket shopping carts, canister vacuum cleaners, and hospital gurneys that allow forward, backward, and lateral movement. Dennis from Long Island, what do you think it is?
Dennis?
Dennis!
Okay. Well, a number of people are just not staying by their phones. You got to stay by your phone. Because you never know who we're going to take next. Okay, the number still is 212-433-9692. We'll find out if Dennis is there when we come back from a little break. Okay, we're going to try Dennis one more time.
Hi, Dennis.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What do you think the answer is?
They're casters, I believe.
Well, that was a tough one, wasn't it?
That was not really tough.
It must have been slightly tough because he's the only person who has called in.
Oh, okay.
Usually we get lots of calls, usually with wrong answers. But we got one call from Dennis with the right answer.
And I have to say that, you know, whether it's on a canister vacuum cleaner or what have you, but I have to find the most annoying shopping carts are the ones at IKEA where all four of them rotate.
Yes.
It's so hard to drive those. Well, but anyway, Dennis, hold
Swedish
on.
Swedish ingenuity.
Anyway, yes, Dennis, you're going to get a copy of Save Money, Save Energy by Al Ubell and George Merlis. Okay? Oh, so hang on, great. And we'll take your name.
And who's Al Ubell?
Nobody. Nobody important.
Don't okay, Dennis, so hang on. And we're going to go to a little break. Stay with us for more. My guests are Alvin and Lawrence Ubell, the gurus of how-to, accurate building inspectors of Brooklyn, New York. Mm-hmm. And we're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. When we come back, we're going to try to get Chuka on the air once again.
Oh,
so
good.
Stay with us. And we are back with the gurus of how-to, Al and Larry Ubell. We're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. We are also looking forward to hearing from you online and, at WMIC.org/Lopate or Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. And Chuka from Brooklyn, you there this time? Hi.
I am.
Hi.
Hi, Leonard. Hi, gents.
Hi, how are you? What's up? What's your issue?
I've got a question. I have a crawl space that needs insulation. Well, initially there was this fiberglass insulation on the ceiling of the crawl space, and it all got moist and fell mm-hmm. to the ground. The ground's actually concrete.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering, is there a better way to insulate it rather than putting up, fiberglass insulation on the ceiling of it?
Yes, but how many square feet is this?
It's about 350.
350 square feet.
The
yeah. problem is that it's not a big enough space to bring in to have someone spray in open or closed cell polyurethane, which would do a couple of things. Would help seal the floor and especially the closed cell, which gets very hard. Would help seal it all in, and then what you could do is put a level of membrane below it, or dehumidify the crawl space. One of the problems is the crawl space, it gets damp because you're not dealing with the moisture that's in there. So my alternative, which would be probably less expensive, could be putting the fiberglass back, but now instead of, and remember that the foil barrier needs to go up toward the floor, and putting the insulation back, getting those little pieces of like wire hanger that holds everything in place so it doesn't fall down, and then get yourself a dehumidifier and stick the dehumidifier in there and have it drain either outside. And this will actually get rid of the dampness issue and condition the crawl space, and you won't have that problem with the insulation getting heavy and wet and falling down. And I think because the other alternatives would be to put in a rigid board insulation or putting in this other product, I forget the name of it right now, which works well. But the overall problem is the dampness, so you really have to deal with the dampness first before you start doing the insulation products.
Okay, Chuka?
Thank you so much. Thank you very much, James.
That would be the solution. I have to say that one of the biggest problems that people don't deal with basements and crawl spaces is dampness, and the other problem people don't deal with is proper ventilation of bathrooms and kitchens.
Well, should we put a dehumidifier in the basement?
Yes. All basements should have, especially in this part of the world where basements do. We have a high water table here. There's an ocean right over there a couple of blocks away, and water is everywhere. Water supports most of what our buildings sit on, and so the water migrates up, and so it becomes an issue, and everyone should have a dehumidifier, set it around 50-60%, and it should drain to a constant source so you don't have to interact with it.
Yeah, but you also have to realize that the quality crawl spaces usually have cross ventilation, which when the wind is blowing one way, it'll draw the air out one way or the other way. But what happens is people think they're saving energy by closing off that opening ventilation system, and all of a sudden this moisture builds up in the crawl space.
Mm-hmm. Renee from Manhattan, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a problem in my bathroom. What happened was a tile fell down and it was full of mold. So I had my landlord come in,
mm-hmm.
and they came in and they pulled down a lot of the tile up until where they believe they saw the end of the mold,
mm-hmm.
and they want to replace that board and then take the old tiles, I guess, clean the old tiles and put them back up. I didn't let them do that because my concern is that if there's mold there, then there's going to be mold someplace else, possibly.
Well, okay, so I got a couple questions. The backup board material was made of sheetrock?
I believe sheetrock, yes.
Okay, and how? So here, that's an interesting issue that you bring up, and this is not uncommon. A little bit of quick history is that up until about the 1960s or so, the way they did wall tile installation was the way they did plaster. They put up scratch coat, concrete on lath, and then they put the tile on top of the lath. They set it into the concrete, and that gave you waterproof material. None of that material supported mold growth. It wasn't a problem. It worked very well. Then all of a sudden, plaster went away, and the sheetrock came in. And so they started thinking that the sheetrock would replace the scratch coat, and it didn't work well because the paper would fall apart, the paper would support mold growth, and the tiles would fall off. Skip ahead, 1980s or so, they came up with Wonderboard or Duroc, which is concrete board with fiberglass. That stuff's great. It doesn't support mold growth, and the tile sticks to it. So right now, what they need to do at your tile tub enclosure is rip off all the tile and all the backup material all the way around the enclosure, not the whole bathroom necessarily, but in that area specifically, and put now Wonderboard, Duroc, or Hardy board. That works pretty well too. All this stuff that rejects mold growth and is somewhat waterproof, and then put up your new tile. And don't let them use the old tile. I don't even know why they're using the old tile, because the new tile
can't match the old tile.
So you know what? Pick the whole tub enclosure, pick a different style of tile, and it just contrasts with one another.
Okay.
You know, that would be that's what I would do.
Okay, so you're saying that we have to rip off all the tile in the whole enclosure?
Yeah, the tub enclosure, the three walls.
Now, what happens if the mold remains?
Well, the mold...
Is it bad for her health?
Well, no. Once they take off the material, the mold's going out with the material.
No, I meant if she doesn't...
Yeah, it would be bad.
It actually propagates. The mold is a plant, and if there's a little moisture and good temperature, it'll propagate.
But I need to ask her one more question. Are you still there?
Yeah.
My problem is I'm having the problem with the landlord who's refusing to do that.
That's above my pay grade. But that's aside the point. Is how do you ventilate the bathroom? Do you have a window or is there
a window? But the window hasn't been able to open for years, so I don't open.
That needs to happen. That window needs to be made operational. And if the window's not operational, that's a violation of the law because you no longer have ventilation in the bathroom, and all bathrooms require ventilation. So you need to talk to him about that too.
Okay, thank you for calling us, and good luck. Eric from Morristown, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, what's up?
Central air conditioning units, as I prepare them for the winter, every winter the chipmunks seem to nest in there, and they tend to gnaw through the insulation, the foam insulation that goes around the copper wiring. And I have to have those replaced every spring, and they nest in there. How can I get them to stop doing that?
Well, the next time you do that over again, the best way to prevent that is that all of that wiring should be in some sort of conduit rather than just wrapping it up with insulation. You could use polyvinyl chloride piping or even metallic piping, but it's just a short distance, and that will prevent the chipmunks and the squirrels from
eating. So you're just putting in a pipe?
In a pipe.
Yeah, what you would use is a thing called a greenfield pipe with something like that, or you could take a BX cable and pull out the cables and just use that and snake it through. But I have to say another trick would be to spray all that stuff with a solution of cayenne pepper and water and keep spraying it on the pipes, and the squirrels may not want to eat it anymore because it's so spicy. So that also sometimes works. We use it for our plants so they don't eat the tomatoes.
Spray that regularly then?
Yeah, that would help also. But if you're talking about this little short wire that goes from the compressor into the house, right?
Correct.
And what is it, about a couple of feet?
Correct.
Yeah, if you're mechanically enough, you can disconnect the wires from the compressor, snake the wire through, take a picture of everything so you know where to rehook it, and then snake it through a metal conduit and then put it back together.
Yeah, that's how they do commercial work.
Yeah.
It's always in rigid conduit rather than flexible wire being exposed to the elements.
Yeah.
Let's take another call. Betty from the Bronx. Hi.
Hi, Betty.
Hi. How are you?
We're in the Bronx.
Where? Norwood section of the Bronx, okay, near the Botanical Gardens.
Oh, nice. Wow. Did you go to the Chihuly exhibit yet?
Yes, I've seen the Chihuly exhibit, yes.
Oh,
yes,
that's great.
It's beautiful. It's wonderful, yeah.
Okay.
So here's my question. I have a two-family house that's about 100 years old, and I've been living here almost 40 years. And about 10 years ago, my tin ceiling in my bedroom, the paint has started to peel.
Mm-hmm.
My son lives upstairs and has the same ceiling, and no problem. He's on the second floor.
Uh-huh.
But my ceiling continues to periodically peel. It's really hard to remove all the paint because of all the ornate design of the tile. So I don't know what to do. I mean, we're chipping away at all the paint that peels. I used an oil-based paint, and it's still happens, and I don't know what might be the problem.
Well, what happens is the paint, for some reason or other, they use dissimilar kinds of paint, and they used probably over the years either latex paint and then an alkyd kind of paint, and these two are incompatible with each other. What has to really be done is somebody has to go up there with a wire brush and wire brush all of that is up there and scratch everything up thoroughly. And and if you use
get right down to the original tin.
Well, not you don't necessarily, but you have to scratch it up a lot. So there is keying to the metallic surface, and it has to be washed with some kind of acidity, like vinegar. Even works very well if you brush on the vinegar, and then after it dries and cleans up everything, that's when you would use the best kind of paint for that ceiling. Would be a paint that is a paint that's made for metallic surfaces, and that will last forever.
But I need to ask another question. What kind of, is this a living room? Is this a dining room, kitchen?
This is a bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
It's in my bedroom, and now I'm noticing it in my dining room, which is a couple of rooms down.
Now, I'm going to ask some questions. Are people in the apartment smokers or anything like that?
No, no smokers. No, we're
because,
not smokers.
Yeah, because what, the other thing that happens is that a lot of times people don't, you know, you know, it says on the paint container you have to have a clean, smooth surface.
Yes.
And no one ever cleans it, because if it was clean, they wouldn't have to paint it. But the bottom line is that you really do need to clean it. And whether that is with, you know, using vinegar or some kind of etching solution or just soap and water to just get all the surface dirt and
grime
dust and grime off of the surface would probably make the paint adhere that much better.
Thank you for your call. We're going to try to sneak another one. You have to make it very quick, Eran.
Eran, what's up?
From West Orange, New Jersey.
Hi.
Hi, what's up?
So my main issue is insulation. My house has zero insulation.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know if I should put the foam in, if I should, very expensive, rip all the sheetrock out and put insulation in,
mm-hmm,
or if I should do brick face. But on hot and very cold days, my electricity, my heating bills could be up to $500 a month.
Yeah,
so I really need to do something.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you have insulation in the attic?
No, there's no insulation anywhere in the house.
I have to say that, you know, statistics from from the energy department says that you lose about 45% to 50% of your heat through your roof. Okay, you only lose about 20% or so through your walls, and your walls made up by a lot of windows. So your windows are a major heat loss regardless. So your best bang for your buck to start reducing that heating bill is to spend your money insulating the attic space or the roof cavity, and it costs you a lot less. Insulating walls is very expensive, and the payback or the return on that investment is very low.
That's true.
You know,
yes.
Maybe you can insulate the floor of the basement, but that's even less, but that's easier to do. That gives you about 10%. And then there are other things you could do, recaulking and things like that. Maybe put it, I don't know if you have insulated glass windows, but that will also help a little. Windows are probably the lowest end of gaining, but the attic space, that is totally worth doing, and you'll save your money and you'll get it back in no time at all.
Okay, that's really great information. Thank you. Now, what about the brick facing? Does that really have
no,
much in terms of insulating?
Just quickly, if they don't put styrofoam insulation underneath it, it's not going to help at all.
Thank you so much for your call. And Larry, you invite listeners to write to you. How do you want them to do that?
I would like them to write me at Larry Ubell, LarryUbell at gmail.com. And please include your telephone number. If you don't, you'll get a return message number, please. So
telephone important.
Telephone's really important, okay, because it's a lot to go through.
And my guests, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell, are also accurate building inspectors. That's what they do for a living.
Uh-huh.
But we're very grateful that they come by on a regular basis to talk with our audience.
Will
about...
you actually come by to say hello to you?
And what else to what is it?
We'll
to...
tell, show all, next time we're here, we'll show all of America how to go forth and fix, save energy, money,
and do it safely.